Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Shit Show with J-Bo. This is J-Bo. How the hell are ya? I took a month off, and I had a death in the family, and it was really bad, and it's still pretty bad. But I wanted to get back to work. You know, I heard Weird Al Yankovic lost both his parents in one fell swoop through carbon monoxide poisoning. And he went and did a show that night. That's fucking crazy. But I'm sure he was getting paid a lot of money to do that show. Myself, I didn't mean to neglect the podcast. It's just that I didn't really have much to say. I didn't feel like talking, and I still don't have much to say on what happened or feel like talking about it. But I wanted to get back out there with you fine folks because I really do value The Shit Show with J-Bo. It's a great outlet for me. It's a great release. And, you know, who knows? One day, maybe I get to make some money out of it. If I continue down this path, it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, are we not listening to gold right now? Are you not intrigued right now? Are you not hanging on my every word right now? I feel like I'm using the pauses correctly in my speech to elicit that type of intense listenership right now. Plus, I'm very close to the mic. Does it sound intimate? I read this book once, and it was called, I believe it was Here, There, and Everywhere. And it was by the Beatles engineer. Right now I forget his name, but it's a fascinating book. And the only reason I bring it up is because every revolutionary act the Beatles did in the studio, every rule that they broke, every amazing sound, and I mean almost every single one, was achieved through something very simple. And it was fairly obvious. But it was basically wherever the microphone was, whatever distance you had to have the microphone away from the instrument or the speaker, they just pushed it closer. So every super saturated fat ass guitar and bass tone or horn tone was achieved one way throughout this entire book. It was just pushing the mic super close to the subject, kind of like right now. It provides intimacy. It provides distortion. It's like you're right there. How cool is that? Boom. So how the hell are you fine folks out there? I want to give a shout out to a couple of my regulars now. Jamie Hebert, I have a feeling you're listening right now. Sorry, dude. Maybe I shouldn't use your last name. Jamie. Mike, a.k.a. What do they call him? Goat wasn't his name. He had another name. He was the trail guy. My buddy, my good friend, Mike, who is almost finished with the Appalachian Trail. Mike, I want to congratulate you. And I want to let you know that because of all the shit I've been going through, I haven't been in contact. But I think you've found your groove. I think you've got it back. I think you've got your groove back. And how you got it back was this amazing Appalachian Trail. So, congratulations, Mike. You don't need me. We can approach this equally. This friendship. Do you know what I mean? I have been occupying my days with work. I've been getting up super early. Like tomorrow, my plan is to get up at 4:45. I'm going to slam a pre-workout drink, which is something called C4. And it basically gets your heart rate buzzing. It gets your heart way up on an empty stomach. And I'm going to go down to Planet Fitness. And I'm going to exercise a few key muscle groups. Now, I would love to exercise my chest, you know, because my pectoral muscles are not quite what I would like them to be. But I can't exercise my pecs, because I fucked up my shoulder a while back, and I'm slowly bringing it back. So I'm basically going to get my biceps, which are the muscles on the front of your arm. I'm going to do my triceps, the muscles on the back of your arm. I'm going to do my core, and then I'm going to ride the exercise bike for like 15 minutes. But I'm going to jack up the resistance so I burn like 150 calories. So I'm hitting the day with a deficit in calories. So that first donut is on God. You know, it's on the universe. It doesn't mean shit because I've already taken 150 off. I'm going to eat that donut. That donut will be 400 calories. But after I work out, it'll only be 250 calories. So yeah, I'm going to be work, and then I go to work. I go to work at 6. And I'm going to go in there. I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to listen to some podcasts, and I'm going to, I don't know, try to shine, try to rise and shine. I found a new sense of purpose in my life. And I don't know exactly which direction it's going to take, but I feel ambition and I feel calm about what's going to happen. So we'll see. You guys will be along for the ride. Now, I took a month off. Now, that means I'm still going to do my year podcast at least every week, except for I'm just going to do it 1 month more now, so 4 extra episodes. So you're still going to get your 52 episodes of The Shit Show with J-Bo, basically between... When did I start? 2018 in October. So I'll probably go till November or December. I've been listening to a few new things lately as far as music goes. But you know what's really weird is I find myself gravitating towards podcasts in this crazy time that I've had in the past 5 weeks, and this tragic, profound tragedy that hit me. You'd think, like, I wouldn't want to listen to aggravating political talk podcasting, but I gravitate towards it. There's certain figures that give me comfort, and I can't quite explain it, but I'm going to roll with it, because I'll take comfort anywhere I can get it. You know what I mean? Anywhere. So when I'm at work, I'll be listening to Alex Jones screaming at me. He's like the whiskey of conspiracy theorists. I mean, it's just, it's hardcore. I listen to Ben Shapiro. He gives me a fairly even perspective, but he always falls on the kind of conservative side. And then I'll listen to True Crime Garage, which I've been enjoying lately. I feel like they are old friends, Nick and the Captain. That's a great podcast. Have you guys heard True Crime Garage? It's funny, but it's informative. And I actually got to... A few of my listeners probably know this, but I got to interview one of the guys from True Crime Garage, and it was a pretty good get, because that's a pretty popular podcast. I mean, those guys make a good living off of it. And so, yeah, I kind of feel like I know the one guy. But that's funny. That's the funny thing about interviewing people when you podcast is that exactly. For that hour, you're like performing, and you're being emotionally kind of intimate and thoughtful and putting your best foot forward and being the best possible version of yourself. And so it feels like you really connect with the people. And for that moment, you really kind of do. And you always have that. You know, everybody I've interviewed not everybody, but a lot of them, there was always that moment. So it feels like we had this cool connection, and then you move on with your life, obviously. But yeah, it's an interesting situation to interview people in a podcast and try to have your personality perform with them, for them, reacting, trying to read them, trying to anticipate what you're going to say next, but trying to be spontaneous and allow it to flow like water wherever it's going to go, as in the conversation. How was everybody's 4th of July? Mine was, well, I got to shoot a gun. I got up, and my girlfriend hates that I have a gun. And she was sleeping at my house, so I figured I'll go shoot this gun. I got a pistol when I was down in Florida like a month ago. I got a .22 pistol. Don't tell the feds. Because, well, I'll stop right there. It's not exactly legal. But I went out with a Folgers coffee can, and I had this pistol like a fucking old school New Yorker right in the back of my pants. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a perfect place for it right there. Like, right where the tramp stamp goes, that's where you put your gun. And walked out there, and I should have worn socks or long pants because I walked through all this thorn bush and scraggle grass and sand spurs. It wasn't sand spurs or scraggle grass. Scraggle grass is not even a thing. I just made that up. But it tore up my ankles. But either way, I padded down about 20 feet of clearance, and I fired about, the gun holds 8, and I reloaded, let's say, 2 or 3 times, so between 16 and 24 shots. And I will tell you, I was a terrible fucking shot. I was really bad. But then I would get paranoid. Like, I was shooting into a hillside, but then I missed. And there's plenty of hill behind it, but I got paranoid, like, oh my God, there's a house up on that hill. What if that bullet, what if I'm such a bad shot that the bullet, like, went straight up into that house and my fucking aunt and uncle are dead right now? Like, that would be so fucked up. And so I texted them when I was done. I was like, guys, I finished shooting this gun. And they didn't reply. I was like, please reply to me. Please reply. It took about 5 minutes. They're like, oh yeah, we're in Indiana. Glad you had fun. I said, thank God I didn't kill anybody, you know? It's a little .22. It's a cute little gun. It was fun, man. It was really fun. And then I put the gun away, and I would take it out later in the day, actually, again. But I did a bunch of grilling, man. I did a bunch of barbecue. I don't know, that's the one day of the year, if I'm not working, and I haven't worked in quite a few 4th of Julys, that I really enjoy just putting shit on the grill. I really like that anyway, but it feels like that's the day that feels really good. I don't know, you know. Maybe barbecuing is an American thing. I don't know if other countries barbecue. I'm sure they do, but I don't know if they do it like we do it. I mean, you would think other countries had diners as well, but a lot of other countries don't have diners. And by the way, them not having diners and all-night fast food are reasons why Europeans are much thinner than Americans, really. You don't get the same kind of food over there, the same caliber of caloric intake, or the same frequency with the opportunity to eat. Frequency of opportunity to eat. Anyhow, I grilled a bunch of hamburgers and hot dogs and some vegan burgers and some sausages, and I had a good old time. I was drinking this beer that was kind of, I forget what it was called. It's called like Dragons and Yum Yums or something like that, and it was invented by the Flaming Lips and some other brand. Like, they collaborated, the Flaming Lips, the band, who is a great psychedelic experimental legendary band. They got together with some beer company, and it was really good. It was kind of fruity. So I was drinking like Reed's ginger ale, and then I was drinking this fucking beer made by the Flaming Lips. And the only bummer was nobody really showed up to my 4th of July party. So it was just me and my grandmother, really. And then she invited some relatives over I think it was basically because she felt bad that nobody showed up. And so she invited relatives over who, truth be told, didn't really want to see me or eat there. And, you know, that's what it felt like. And it was nice, though. They ate up some of that food. We had baked beans. We had, you know, we have baked beans. We had rice salad. It was like a potato salad. And anyway, it was fairly normal. And then I, it was a good barbecue. Anyway, I enjoy it. Do you guys like to barbecue? I know it's fucking mundane, but everybody does it, but there's something very satisfying about it. The whole process, you know, putting charcoal, fucking lighting that shit, letting it ash up, cooking your food like a caveman. Man, I love it. So fast forward to that evening of 4th of July where I went over and watched some fireworks with some little kids at my girlfriend's parents' neighborhood. And the cops came. And it was pretty much the only black family in that neighborhood, and the cops came. So you start to go, okay, well, why the fuck did the cops come tonight with this family? Was it because they were black? Or was it because they were shooting off fireworks in the front yard? And I think what happened was the neighbors knew that the people in the house were black, and they were also shooting off fireworks, and so they kind of exaggerated that the fireworks had gone on top of their houses, and they were afraid they might have their house burned down by the fireworks. You know what I mean? Like, it's just things that make me go, Do you guys remember the Arsenio Hall show? Arsenio Hall, such a great fucking show. He's such a master, like, entertainer. I love Arsenio Hall. Anyway, I dig it. Anyway, he always had this segment with things that make me go, Like, you have this segment. And then he had the dog pound. So you had this entire area of, like, people that were, I don't know, it was just an area of the audience. And he'd go, where are my dogs at? And they go, but then my final just idiotic reprise of the gun situation on the 4th of July. You guys will love this. So when I was watching those fireworks with those kids, I started dreaming about my gun. And by the way, I don't even like shooting the gun that much. It's just a novel concept. Like, it seems really violent, actually, and seems really fucking loud. And I couldn't imagine shooting anybody, but I want to have one for protection in case somebody rolls in and it's convenient to grab the thing. Then maybe I can, like, scare somebody off, fire a shot into the air first. If they progress, maybe wing them or shoot them in the leg, and hopefully it doesn't get any worse than that. Hopefully, you know, the shot in the air does it. But, you know, I don't know that I could, like, whip some dude's ass that came in. Wouldn't mind having a gun on me, right? So I was daydreaming while watching the kids' fireworks that this would be the perfect time to go get my gun, go out into the field and just blast into the air, man. Like, just blast into the fucking air. So I was like, yeah. And then really, I got off on the idea of doing that, you know. And so I did that. I was going to do that. But the only problem is, by the time I thought about doing it, it was like 1 a.m. and the fireworks were off. But I just, like a maniac, because, you know, I've been going through a lot kind of lately mentally, just acting probably a little bit crazy. So I went and grabbed this gun from, like, the place where it is, which isn't actually in my house. I don't actually have it in my house. It's, like, in a building on the property. And I didn't have a shirt on. I didn't have socks on. I just had, like, my jean shorts on. So I walk up there, and it's, like, misting. It's, like, slightly raining, and it's wet. And I go get this fucking gun and just put it in my pocket, put bullets in it. And I walk across the street through all this thick thorn bush, and I get to this trail where these college kids run around, or high school kids, whatever. There's a high school there, I guess. And I walk until I come to a clearing, and there's no noise at all, you know. And so I figure, well, fuck, I gotta fire this gun now. And so I literally just, like, I guess it's dangerous. I mean, the bullet could come down. I don't know. You don't hear about that too often, but it could happen. But it was at large field. I fired it straight up. It doesn't matter. I was just being irresponsible and really a jackass. I don't think I'd had anything to drink either, but I fired a shot into the air, and then you start getting paranoid. I'm like, oh, fuck, that did not sound like a firework. It sounded like a gun, because you could hear it ricochet through the valley, you know. I was like, man, if a cop heard that, dude, he's coming. So I, like, commando style, like, ran back with his gun, like, you know, got in the weeds and put the gun down and made sure there was no cops and grabbed the gun and ran across the street to my house. And it wasn't heroic. It wasn't even that fun. It was just something I did, something to occupy my time, some crazy ass thing to find some little bit of satisfaction to put lip balm on the cracks in my heart and brain. You know what I mean? Just to soothe it just a little bit. But the only fucked up thing about lip balm, next time you guys see some lip balm, or you have lip balm, or you like lip balm, you know, like stuff you put on your lips, like chapstick or Blistex or any of that shit, that's any of it that's supposed to soothe your lips, look at the ingredients. The first three or four, there's fucking alcohol in the motherfucker. So really, people get addicted to that shit, right? Oh, I just gotta have chapstick. I've been putting chapstick on since I was 19. Gotta have that chapstick. The reason why they're addicted to the chapstick, it's not because the chapstick just keeps making them feel better and better or making their lips lusher. It's actually drying your lips out. It dries your lips out. Did you guys know that? Any of that shit's got alcohol in it. And that's how they get you. They dry you out. You know, that's also why, you know, hair care products are bullshit, a lot of them, you know. People wash their hair all the time. They're just stripping the oils. Your body will regulate that shit. You shouldn't have to wash your hair that often, maybe once every week, once every 2 weeks. Some people don't wash it more than a month, once every month. Same with skin. Little beauty tips from J-Bo. Don't do shit to your skin or hair. It'll regulate itself. My skin, it's never greasy. It's never really dry, the skin on my face anyhow. I have eczema on my elbows. That's a whole different scenario. It's really dry skin. But I don't do shit to my skin. I barely wash it in the shower, and I've like, my skin looks good. Looks great. Never do anything to it. I don't dry it out. I don't put anything on it. It looks good, man. So do less. Do less. They're all trying to scam you out of your nice shit. You know, spend your money on something else than hair care products and whatnot. Unless you have thin hair. If you have thin hair, well, that's the same thing, I guess. I suppose, I don't know, is that true? That if you had thin hair that gets greasy really quickly, if you just let it get greasy over time and just eased off the hair washing that and stripping those essential oils out and replacing them with conditioner, it's kind of weird, right? It's like, hey, we're going to have a product that strips out the oils that would condition your hair, and then we're going to sell you some conditioner to put them back in. Anywho, what is today? The 10th of July? Yeah, it's the 10th of July. I haven't put out a podcast in a month. Jesus Christ. What a bizarre life, man. It's so weird how things can change in an instant, man. Life is so precious. So precious. You guys ever had a family member die? A loved one die? Just die on you? I'm sure you have. But when it happens to you, and you are very close to that person, the only thing that makes it easier is the permanence of it. As weird as that is to say, when somebody leaves like that, there's no going back. It's not like when you're breaking up with the girl and you think you're in hell and you think this is going to change things, but you're not sure if you're going to break up and she's not sure and any of that stuff. That makes it harder in a way, that type of thing. But death is so permanent that your mind can't even entertain it. You know, it's kind of like when I would, your mind can't entertain the thought of it changing. You occasionally think, maybe I'll wake up. And that seems like a reality for a split second. It's kind of like when you look out at an ocean, you see the curvature of the world for a split second. You vision how big the world is. It's that kind of weird feeling. And then you're hopeful that it's a dream. Because I've had dreams like this before. I've had dreams where it seemed like it was a long dream that went on for weeks, and I woke up and it went, whoa. I fucking dreamt that this happened. Or I dreamt that I robbed this bank and somebody cut off my arm. And I was on a bicycle riding through a fucking woods. You know, something crazy. Yeah, I didn't have the strength to do this podcast. It just, I didn't. It was so extra, you know? So extra to what was happening. Basically, guys, I'll tell you, my mom died. My mom fucking died. And I was unbelievably close to my mom. And she wasn't sick. I prepared myself for everybody in my life to die. Almost everybody, you know? People who were close to me, I knew, okay, this person could go, and this person could go, okay. I better be... But my mom, it was, I mean, shocking is not the word. I can't even, people tell me they can't imagine what it must be like if they haven't lost their mom or their dad or something, you know. And I can't, I tell them, I can't imagine either. You know what I mean? I still can barely, I can't really imagine. I barely imagine. So permanent. So surreal, and it's like if you had a dinner table and you're eating dinner, your family's eating dinner, and all of a sudden somebody took a chunk out of the table like a hacksaw, and just right in the middle where the peas were and the turkey, and they just took a big circle 3 feet in diameter, and then all the food fell through the table. And they go, well, how are you going to eat now? And I go, I don't know how I'm going to fucking eat. All the food's on the floor. What the fuck did you just do? This has fundamentally changed this whole thing. When I heard about it, I was at work. And I drove 16 hours to Florida. It was the only thing I could do. I barely remember the drive. I remember eating at Hardee's in South Carolina somewhere. I remember slamming energy drinks. I remember people being worried about my safety, like they didn't want another tragedy. But I guess I had to have a destination. So I drove down to St. Augustine, where the rest of the family was gathering. And that was the right thing to do. But it's been a trip. Every day has been a little bit better, thank God. But it's moment to moment, you know? And when people say condolences, I really appreciate that. I don't really like how you're doing or you good, you know? People mean well, but it's just, I don't know, man. I still get the feeling like I want to call my mom when something happens, like that fucking feeling. that little flutter. You know, I'd call her all the time. That's how our relationship was. It wasn't, I didn't see her all the time, but I talked to her all the time. We were very, very close. And there were some really strange premonitions, you know? Like, I just listened to this. I'll play it for you, actually. It's crazy, man. I listened to this video that I made. So I was going down to North Carolina on the 5th. She died on the 5th. And the 4th was when I made this recording. And I was telling my girlfriend I was going to North Carolina to see my mom. And that's where my mom passed away, was North Carolina. And let me find it here. But I say a few things that actually, like, gave me the fucking goosebumps, man. So I basically had, I was at work and I was making a video to send to my girlfriend, and just listen to what I say towards the end. This is one day before my mother dies. Let's see here, guys. Photos, trying to find my phone. Albums, there we go. Mm-hmm. Listen.
Good morning, beautiful girl. This is how my mornings are here. Looking at a bunch of beautiful pot. Now, these aren't that tall because I've scrogged them down. They could have gotten much taller. But there's a method to scrogging them because hopefully the buds get real thick. You see how thick they are? Anyway, I want to tell you that I love you, and I can't wait to see you. And I'm not abandoning you. And I hope you can go to North Carolina. I'd kind of like to go just because how many times in my life am I going to get to spend time with those people, you know? Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen to me or to them or whatever, you know what I mean? It'd be rad if you could come. I hope your tooth feels better, Jesus. We can get you whacked up on all kinds of painkillers, you know, until we get back. Anyway, I hope you have a beautiful morning. I hope you find peace. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, so I clearly say something to the effect of, how many times am I going to get to see these people? You never know what could happen to me or to them. Fucking weird, right? Kind of prophetic. Or something. And then the coroner person put my mom's death about 3 to 3:15 in the morning. And I remember specifically what time. It was right around 3 o'clock, they said. But I remember waking up around that time. And forcing myself out of bed and kind of going, what? Like, literally vocalizing, what the fuck? And, like, pushing myself up and getting up at 3:05, 3:10, you know, sometime around there. And having just a head full of, like, stress, you know. Like really, I'd had some stress lately, but it forced me out of bed. And I never woke up like that, you know, speaking like that. And I definitely felt it, man. There was definitely a bond, and it was, you know, that bond was breaking or something, and it was telling me, and it was very odd, very strange, but I have 100% certainty that I was aware on some level that something traumatic was happening. And you know, for a couple weeks after it happened, I went through this thing where it's not that I wanted to kill myself, because I really didn't. I'm not a suicidal person. But the thoughts entered my mind like, how can I go on? Why the fuck would I do anything? Why would I even be alive? Why would the rest of my life or my life matter if my mom's gone? Like, what's it all worth type thing? That's probably pretty standard, I guess. I remember, like, cruising into St. Augustine that night that it happened, and everything seemed incomplete. Like, really, it just seemed incomplete. Like, I was looking at this town that was filled with so many memories, but I only came to the town to see my mom ever. And now this unspeakable, unthinkable thing had happened. And there was just a hole. There was a hole in the fabric, in my universe. It was crazy. It's just crazy. It's unthinkable. It's crazy. So, yeah, man, that's what happened, guys. Thank you for listening. There was an amazing wake for my mom. About 500 or 600 people showed up. Of course, there was free food, but she did know a lot of people in the community. And I heard so many touching stories. And people who my mom obviously was like, had a very cool and close relationship with that I didn't even know about, or how much my mom meant to them, you know. And I realized that, like, she was like a very comforting light in a lot of people's lives. She was a healer, she was a hospice nurse. She loved to sing. She loved music. She had music. You know, I always sing, you know, and my mom definitely put that into my heart, the gift of song, really. Like, she really, really did implant that, you know. She would always sing. Just a great escape. It's a great great feeling to do that. She was really funny. And she was very independent, you know. She didn't pick guys because they had money or because, you know, whatever, that type of bullshit, you know. She picked men because she liked them, or they were weird, or they were crazy, you know. But she liked them, you know what I mean? She followed her heart in a way, you know, in that way. The reason why I bring that up, sorry, it's somebody had said, you know, she didn't, she had bad taste in men or something like that. And I don't know. I don't know if that's true, man. I mean, if she hadn't had exactly the taste in men that she had, you know, for better or for worse, I wouldn't be sitting here, right? I wouldn't be born. She wouldn't have married my father. She wouldn't have met a guy named Eddie White who taught me how to play guitar. She wouldn't have met a guy named Ned Pollock who, taught me the value of sobriety and hard work. So I think she had good taste in men. It's hard for me to describe the bond that me and her had. And we had our times where we're at odds, for sure. But for the most part, it was just a beautiful connection. Loving. Funny. We joked all the time. And we were a little more like siblings a lot of the times than mother and son. People would say that because I'd fuck with her, man. And she'd fuck with me, though. That's what people didn't see. That was our rhythm, but I would tease her, you know what I mean? Like you'd tease a sister or something. Like, that's how it felt. And she provided so much comfort to me, in particular. And that's probably the hardest thing that'll be. It's just that comfort blanket, you know, of your mom. It's she's, you know, she's your biggest supporter, you know what I mean? And honestly, she should have been around another 20 years. But she had something wrong with her heart, evidently. And nobody knew about it. And I'm just going to try to carry on with her kindness, her humility, her funniness, and her ability to put people at ease with her presence. Not that I do that, but I'd like to be that person, you know. Not to be judgmental, you know, of other people too much. try to be friends to the people who don't have friends or don't get friends as easily like she did. She's very cool, man. She's an amazing mother, amazing person. Unorthodox. She swore like a sailor. She would scare my friends. Like, really, my friend Mark. He had never heard swear words that came flying out of my mom's mouth. He was scared of her. She worked nights back in the day, and me and my friends would be raising hell, fighting, whatever. And she'd kick that door open. You little, you know. She calls cocksuckers or something, or motherfuckers for sure. And Mark had never heard those words. Especially after a door was kicked open in the little apartment over at Coquina Lakes in St. Augustine. So, needless to say, I will miss her, but I value what we had, and I value the last conversation we had, and I value the fact that I know that she knew how close we actually were. There was no question. And I really value that. I got many great pictures with her. I wish I had the sound of her voice more. I really do. But I've got a few clips. And that's... voice is so important, man. And I had always thought about, like, making podcasts for people. And I'd actually was going to do... I did that with my grandma and I did it with my dad a little bit. I was going to do it with my dad. But I never thought about doing it for my mom because... whenever anybody would ask me about my mom, I would say, she's great. She's always fucking great. That's the irony. Like, you know, a month before this happened, 2 months before, I saw her in St. Augustine. We hung out. She rode the back of this moped, you know. We took pictures at the bar, you know. People would ask me, how's your mom? She's fucking great. She's great. But that shit can change in an instant, you know. And it did, and it happened to me. And why shouldn't it happen to me? I'm no different, right? Even the Mona Lisa is cracking, as they say in Fight Club. You know what I mean? It happened to me. And that's fucking crazy. It's crazy. Anyway, I'm going to stop there right now, man. Thank you all for listening. This has been the Shit Show with Jaybo. We got a lock on all things magic. We got a lock on all things tragic. I'll talk to you guys later. I'll see you guys next week. This is a regular thing now again. Take care, guys. I'll be all right. You'll be all right. But the question is, what do we do now? We'll talk soon. Bye.